Well, thanks to the Supreme Court, those who are at risk of being evicted have at least a little bit of extra time to figure out what to do next. That's because yesterday the court declined to end the nationwide moratorium on evictions, which was put in place because of the pandemic. President Biden recently extended the ban until the end of July, but said it was the last time he was willing to do so. That ban was originally set to expire today. So we're going to dive into evictions and what can and should be done, and we want you to join the conversation. If you're a landlord who hasn't been able to collect rent, tell us, what does that mean for you and your business? Or if you're a renter who hasn't been able to pay, are you worried about being evicted? Have you had trouble accessing the aid that's out there? You can call us at 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. Or you can tweet us at Radio Boston. So with me now to talk more about how renters are navigating this time is Gary Klein. He's a director of the COVID Eviction Legal Help Project at Greater Boston Legal Services. Gary, thanks so much for being here. Welcome to the show.
Hi, thanks for having me.
And also back with us to talk about how landlords are handling the moratorium is Douglas Quattrocci. He's the executive director of Mass Landlords. Douglas, welcome back to you as well.
Chris, thank you very much. Glad to help.
All right, so I want to have you both start by responding to the Supreme Court decision from yesterday. Gary, let me start with you. What do you make of the decision? Are you celebrating it? Are you worried 30 days isn't enough? Where do you fall?
I think it's a good thing that the eviction moratorium was extended by a month, because it gives us a little bit more time to get organized to deal with what I expect will be a large number of evictions that will follow the end of the moratorium. I do want people to understand, though, that the eviction moratorium doesn't prevent evictions entirely. Landlords can file evictions, they can file certain kinds of evictions, and they can proceed to evict certain tenants. And in order to get the benefit of the eviction moratorium, tenants need to prepare a certification, a form, and complete it and provide it to their landlords.
Yeah, we'll get into some of those specifics as this conversation moves along. But Douglas, let me ask you, what's your reaction to the Supreme Court decision yesterday?
Well, it's basically... it's been an interesting legal strategy for the administration, the Biden administration and the previous presidency, to kind of enact this and extend it in little bits and pieces, because it's really undercut opposition to it. And the legal challenges are going to be moot by the time they get through the courts. So I don't think anybody really expected that the courts would ever overturn the CDC moratorium. And if you look at the CDC moratorium compared to other state moratoria, like what we had in Massachusetts, it's pretty mild. So, I mean, landlords here aren't really celebrating or angry in any sense. It's just kind of an indifferent thing. The renters who need the protection have access to it. And for everyone who doesn't, I mean, it's kind of been the same situation that we've had. Basically, everybody's going to be covered, though, and we can talk about who's qualified. But anyone who fills out that form is going to be protected by it.
You mentioned the moratorium was kind of kicked along by short-term deadlines. Do you have any reason to believe it's not going to be fully over by the end of the month?
Well, that would be very interesting, wouldn't it? They say this is going to be the last time, but they might say, okay, no, really, it will be extended further. But to Gary's point, really, if you have a matter that needs to go before the court, you can file. You can do everything that you would normally do. The only thing the CDC moratorium prevents is that final forced move out. And I should say, in Massachusetts here, we're fortunate to live in a state which has a lot of renter protections. So even without the CDC moratorium, the key components of renter protections, like the safety net, rental assistance, and procedural delays in courts, are still going to be there, whatever happens federally. I do think it will be a different matter elsewhere across the country, because in some states, the CDC moratorium is the primary protection. And so that's where the litigation is coming from. There's nobody in Massachusetts who's opposing the CDC moratorium, because it really doesn't impact us so much here, but it certainly will in a different state.
Gary, you mentioned the complicated process that's involved here. So before we get into some specific renter concerns, I want to talk about that process a little bit. Can you kind of explain for folks how the eviction process worked pre-pandemic, and then how the moratorium kind of changed that?
Under Massachusetts law, tenants are entitled to what's called a notice to quit, which starts the eviction process. It's a notice that gets delivered just to the tenant and isn't filed right away with the court. And it asks the tenant, or tells the tenant, to deliver up their property by a certain date. Many tenants don't understand that if they don't deliver the property, they still have an opportunity to defend the eviction in the court process. So receipt of a notice to quit by itself is not a particular reason for the tenant to leave. Once the court process has started, people are entitled to raise defenses to eviction, and people in most cases should be looking for some sort of legal help at that point, because the data shows that they'll do a lot better if they have counsel than if they go into court unrepresented. Sadly, there are a lot of tenants who simply give up when they receive a notice to quit or when they receive court papers. And those folks leave, even though they might, under the current state of affairs, apply for rental assistance, get money, and pay their landlords in full in order to retain their tenancy and stay in place.
So you mentioned that some of these proceedings are ongoing, and that basically we just aren't crossing that final threshold of you have to leave your home now. Can you explain to folks what the legal proceedings that are taking place during while the moratorium is in place? What's actually happening still?
So there are really two kinds of evictions in Massachusetts. There are non-payment evictions and evictions for actual cause or for no reason at all. The CDC moratorium only protects tenants from non-payment evictions. So there are many tenants who are being evicted. Those are either tenants who haven't filled out the CDC declaration and given it to their landlords, or tenants who have been sued for cause or for no reason and who don't have the CDC protections. So there are many thousands of tenants that have actually been evicted during the pandemic.
Wow. I want to go to the phones here, 1-800-423-8255. It's 1-800-423-TALK. Mike in Jamaica Plain, you're up. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Hey, how are you doing? I just wanted to say back in March when I had gotten laid off, I tried to reach out. I received some subsidized housing from Metro Housing, and just trying to reach out to them to get them to lower my rent so that it wasn't going to keep accruing at that normal amount was very hard to do because there was no one in the office because of COVID. But I did reach out to Boston Legal Services. They were amazing. I think it's just a matter of just you have to put in the work, you have to follow through with them. And they were able to not only get all of that paid, but also to lower my rent to reflect what I was receiving with just unemployment. So I think it's just a matter of, you know, really you got to put in the work. And, you know, follow through, people aren't going to just get all these services and done and then you don't have to do anything. You really got to spend some time following through with it. But, like I said, I think a lot of it, too, there was just no bodies around to, you know, help people, through the process.
Yeah.
Nobody at Metro Housing and nobody in the offices to really help out. But I had a great experience with Boston Legal Services. It was unbelievable.
Well, thanks.
I don't know what I would have done without them.
Thanks for chiming in there, Mike. Gary, would you say that's a pretty typical experience for folks that you've worked with in your role?
Like Mike, a lot of people were affected by the chaos associated with COVID, so they couldn't reach their landlord. In some cases, management offices at big buildings were closed. Subsidy providers often had their offices closed as well. And like Mike, people do benefit from getting help, both to gather resources in terms of rental assistance, to help people achieve the kind of recertification, to lower their monthly rent that Mike received, and also to help out with the court process to put people in the best position to avoid eviction.
All right. And again, this conversation, we welcome both landlords and tenants to jump on board, 1-800-423-8255. So, Doug, I want to have you respond to Mike's point there. He lost his job. It's a pretty understandable, tough spot for somebody to be in. What about landlords? What have they faced over the course of the pandemic? Can you tell us a little bit more about that?
Sure. Happy to talk about the landlord experience. But first, I just want to put a point to Mike's comment, which is you do have to do the work. We filed a public records request with the Department of Housing and Community Development. We asked how many cases for applications for rental assistance actually got completed and how many timed out in May. Timed out is you didn't fill in all the boxes and they need more information. Don't give up. But we can't proceed until we get that information. 5,453 households asked for help and got timed out. So a huge number of people are not able to do the work that Mike did. And so the safety net is a real problem for renters in that respect. And it's been a problem for landlords too, because from the very beginning of the pandemic, we didn't oppose at Mass Landlords, we didn't oppose the state eviction moratorium or the CDC moratorium because it makes sense during a stay-at-home order. People have to have a home to stay in. But we were hoping that the rental assistance and safety net would come up to speed sooner. Landlords didn't get forbearance on their mortgages at all unless we lived in the property and it only had a small number of units, like 3 units or less. And most of us live across the street from our buildings or we have a rental property elsewhere, so the mortgage was still due. Taxes to fund infrastructure and first responders are still due. Utilities still due. And in Massachusetts, landlords have a definite obligation, regardless of whether the rent is paid, to maintain the premises in sanitary and working order, which means a lot of us had to make all these repairs that we didn't have any money to repair to effect. So basically, when the safety net came online in October, that was a huge help. But we had already had about 2 to 3 times the normal rate of landlords selling out of the business. We judge that based on membership non-renewals. So by August, September, kind of the fourth and fifth month, the state moratorium where the courts were closed, absolutely, landlords were selling out in record numbers. And who was buying? The larger corporate landlords, the larger housing providers that maybe we already have to a great extent in Boston. But we lost a lot of small landlords in the whole of the state.
Gary, what's your response here in that?
I agree with Doug for the most part. I think the important point that he's making is about the usefulness of rental assistance, both to help tenants and landlords. The reality is that if a landlord is patient with the tenant, completes their portion of the rental assistance application, and works with the tenant to obtain rental assistance, they're going to get 100 cents on the dollar. They'll be fully paid. So the availability of rental assistance is a boon both on the tenant side and on the landlord side.
Do you think the process is too slow or too complicated at all? I mean, 5,000 plus households timing out before they're able to access that assistance does feel like a pretty substantial number.
It is a problem, and it has been a problem. For a long time, the rental assistance queue was very long, and there were long delays, which affected both tenants and landlords. More recently, the process has speeded up, but many tenants need help to get their application properly completed and filed. One of the problems is that some tenants try to complete the application, they don't finish, and they don't realize that the fact that they didn't finish means that the application isn't considered at all. They aren't necessarily going to hear that they need to provide additional information for their application to be acted on. So these are problems that the state is aware of. The state is working on some fixes to these problems. But the reality is that people, first of all, need to look for help, both to get a proper rental assistance application on file and in the event of eviction to get help to navigate the court process.
Do we have a sense of how many folks total have reached out for assistance?
Across the state, it's many thousands. The number could be even higher. We know that there are close to 100,000 Massachusetts households that are either behind on their rent or at risk of falling behind on their rent. And most of those delinquencies are related to COVID-19 problems.
So you mentioned towards the top of the conversation that you feared there would be a swell of evictions once the moratorium expires. We've heard the phrase tsunami of evictions. Can you talk more about that? Do you feel that is a real concern?
It is a real concern. I think the general belief is that because of the general belief is that the moratorium has acted as a dam and prevented at least some landlords from filing. I think that once the moratorium is over, landlords are going to feel free to file. And then the problem will be to help tenants get rental assistance fast enough that it's available before the eviction is completed and the tenant is actually evicted from their home.
Doug, what about you? Do you think that's a real concern?
Not so much, but let me just put a point to what Gary said. 100,000 households, round numbers, are in need of some kind of assistance. The state eviction diversion initiative dashboard shows since March 2020, we've served 28,107 households, which is a lot more than we normally would serve, but it's still a lot less than what we estimate the number is. And so what I wonder is, given that you have been able to file all this time during the CDC moratorium, given that it only stops the final forced move out, I wonder if landlords are offering cash for keys, mutual releases, relocation assistance agreements to get the renters out by agreement and forgiving arrears. We would not have any visibility into that. And so potentially a lot of households are and have already moved. And we wouldn't see a big wave when the CDC moratorium ends just because the safety net has been so slow, the damage is in a measure already done.
So we talked a little bit earlier about how some of the assistance measures really require renters and landlords to work together to access the relief money. How challenging is that? And I'd love to have you both speak to this. Doug, why don't I start with you?
Sure. Yeah. I mean, it's pretty challenging. One of our small accomplishments is we help the state to allow landlords who own 20 units or less in Massachusetts apply for rental assistance on behalf of our renters. So basically, if a renter's just crushed under the weight of everything going on, economics and medical and social, we can help and we can do all the paperwork. And largely we have all that already because we should be screening renters and we have their ID and we know where they work for a job and so on. But I don't know why landlords with more than 20 units haven't been able to participate in that process. So if you're a renter who happens to have rented from a big landlord, you're kind of in worse shape than one who picked a small landlord for reasons I can't explain. And then whoever does the paperwork, you've got about 13 pages of information. You have to have a narrative explaining how you've been impacted by COVID. You have to either have a social or not be afraid to check the box that you don't have a social security number. So there's just a lot of hurdles in place. The state are trying to do the right thing, but I think it's inadvertently discouraging a lot of people from getting through the process. It's pretty difficult, it seems to me. And I applied with one of my renters. It took us about 3 months to get an answer. I know another landlord in Gardner who's waited 8 months so far. A lot of back and forth, still no answer. So patience in the extreme is required.
There's also a bit of a power dynamic when you're talking about landlords and tenants trying to work together on something like this. Gary, what do you make of Doug's comments there? And do you have any concerns about asking landlords and tenants to cooperate, basically, to access some of this relief?
Whether it's the tenant or the landlord that initiates the paperwork for rental assistance, it is a time, given the end of COVID, all of the social problems that we're seeing, and the consequences of the changing economy, tenants in particular, it is a time for landlords and tenants to collaborate and cooperate. And regardless of who starts the paperwork, both parties have at least some responsibility to fill out forms that go into the rental assistance agency. I do agree with Doug's point, which is that what is required here is a little bit of patience. The response and the results of the application take a little while. And assuming that it's going to be granted, it's going to make the landlord whole. It's going to prevent the eviction. But, you know, what I find the saddest is when the landlord is so hell-bent on eviction that they're not willing to wait and see if they can get fully paid by rental assistance funds. The reality is that the state is really awash in rental assistance funding. The organizations that handle rental assistance applications are doing everything they can to grant as many applications as they can. And when they do, it will almost always deal with the arrears in full.
1-800-423-8255 is the number if you have a question or comment, want to jump on board. That's 1-800-423-TALK. We're talking about the CDC eviction moratorium, but there was a statewide moratorium as well. Governor Baker allowed that to expire. Earlier this month, he did sign a bill into law that extends some protection for renters. Gary, let me start with you. Are you satisfied with what you've seen from Governor Baker in terms of additional assistance?
The state has done a great deal to provide assistance both to tenants and to landlords. The state could still do a little bit more. The state could make even clearer to courts and to landlords that once a rental assistance application is pending, that the eviction should not go forward would be one example. Like, there is a provision that is available for tenants who know about it to ask to have their eviction cases slowed down while the rental assistance application is pending. It might be better if that provision absolutely prevented the eviction until the rental assistance application is decided. It also should be required that if a landlord is made whole by payment of rental assistance, if they're accepting public funds to cover the tenant's arrears, that they at that point have to, in all cases, dismiss the eviction case. What we see going on is that some landlords are taking the money and nevertheless pushing forward with eviction for one reason or another. I think one of the misconceptions in the landlord community is that if they evict the tenant they have in place, that they're going to get somebody with better credit qualifications to come in. But the reality is different. It's almost certainly clear after the financial problems that so many families have had over this past year, that if someone's evicted, the new tenant who takes their place is almost certainly going to be just as high risk for eviction as the person who was displaced.
Doug, love to hear your response to that and also your thoughts about Governor Baker's approach.
Sure, yeah. The taking the money and waiting is a symptom of flawed program design. We do have, as Gary said, we're awash in rental assistance, $1 billion with a B available. It'll pay up to 18 months of rent with no dollar cap, but that's broken down into 15 months of arrears and only 3 going forward. And with the courts taking, in some cases, 6 months to hear a new matter, landlords know, okay, I got my 15 months of arrears, but I'm only going to get 3 months of rental assistance going forward, and this renter is not able to make the tips they used to make. The hospitality industry and tourism are not what they used to be. We're only just starting up with certain events. So whatever the renter used to do before, their outlook is not looking good for 4 or 5 months down the road. So if we had the program designed a little differently, where we could guarantee people housing indefinitely until everything recovers from the pandemic, landlords would be able to dismiss those cases. In terms of the state's approach here, I mean, it's clear from the Census Household Pulse Survey that Massachusetts renters are at the lowest risk of housing instability anywhere in the country, except one or two other states. And certainly when you correct that for the cost of our housing here, we're doing a great job. But we need to do a lot more, especially when you look at, as I mentioned, these thousands of households every month, roughly half of all applications who are timing out for rental assistance. There are a lot of folks who are slipping through the cracks here, and we're trying to work with the state to eliminate anything in the forms that's not strictly required in order to prevent fraud and abuse. And also, we're trying to work to make it clear to landlords something that hasn't been brought up yet. In Massachusetts, a landlord is legally required to participate in these rental assistance programs under General Law Chapter 151B, Section 4. So there's no reason why a landlord should be, quote unquote, hell-bent on eviction or whatever, because the program requires them to take the money. If there's cause or other behavioral issues with the renter, the landlord can bring a separate matter without the non-payment involved. Right. So really, there's a lot of program work that still needs to be done. Go ahead.
So, sorry, Gary, you head the COVID Eviction Legal Help Project at Greater Boston Legal Services. I'd love to just take a quick moment here, let folks know what resources are available and how can they access help if they need it.
Sure. The main resource that covers your entire listening area is evictionlegalhelp.org. That allows people to find the program that serves their community. To the extent people are in Boston or in a near suburb, they're likely to be covered in the Greater Boston Legal Services service area. And our phone number is 617-603-1807. People can call and we can evaluate to see whether we can help them. And then last, the state has an emergency phone number for all things COVID, which is 211. And that gives people access to a whole range of COVID-related resources, including eviction diversion services.
All right. We will link to that website you mentioned on our website as well. That's Gary Klein. He's the director of the COVID Eviction Legal Help Project at Greater Boston Legal Services. And also Douglas Quattrocci. He's the executive director of Mass Landlords. Doug, Gary, thanks so much for joining us. Really appreciate it.
Thanks so much for having us.